All right, Genesis 26 is our Bible reading tonight and our main chapter in the life of Isaac. I must say that I have taken on a big program for these Sunday evenings. I thought, you know, looking at the men of Genesis, well, those are all familiar. But whenever you have to compress a vast amount of information into one area, it makes you really do your homework. And Isaac, familiar as he is to us, he will demand a lot of our attention tonight. I heard this week about a German philosopher, a man called Arthur Schopenhauer. He was in a city park in Frankfurt, and there he spent much of the day in deep thought. As philosophers sometimes are, he was looking untidy, unkempt, almost like a vagabond, and he fell asleep on the park bench until the park warden came along at the closing time, and he shook him and said to him, "Who are you?" The philosopher, with bleary eyes, looked up, thinking on the question, said, "I wish I knew." This personal identity of who we are is one of the great questions of philosophy. When the first astronauts went into space, they were asked to give answers to 20 questions about themselves. Tonight, I'm going to begin with 20 questions, answers about Isaac, because we want to profile the man and find out who he really is. Well, he was a member of the human race. He was born a male. He was the miracle son of Abraham. And what a miracle that was. His name Isaac means laughter. You remember Sarah laughing at the news that she would bear a child in her old age when Abram was 100 years old. Isaac was the essential link to the covenant of Israel. Abram was called out to be the father of the faithful. But if he's going to be a father, he needed to have a son. And of course, Isaac is that son of the covenant. Isaac was obedient to the father's call to go to Mount Moriah, there to offer himself as a sacrifice. He was the happy husband to Rebekah, who was found by such marvelous providence, as you remember Abram sending his servant to find a wife for Isaac. He became the father of Jacob and Esau, and he became the grandfather to 12 grandsons who became the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. He was the sole heir of all of Abraham's possessions. He was a meditator, a studious man. He was a man of peace who shied away from war. He was 40 years old when he got married. He was 60 years old when the twins were born. He loved venison stew, and for that he loved Esau, who was a hunter. He dwelt in the land of Gerar among the Philistines due to a famine, and almost went down to Egypt until God told him not to and gave him many promises for obedience. As we read tonight, this is number 18, by the way, he lied about his wife, saying that she was his sister. We also read tonight that he sowed in the land of Gerar and received an hundredfold. He became a prosperous man. And now, number 20, he was a well digger. a digger of wells. Five wells are mentioned in the passage we read tonight about the well digging of Isaac. Now, Abram was the man of the altar. His son Jacob became the man of the tent. But Isaac is the man of the wells. And what a lesson this is for all of us. Isaac was the vital link to the covenant with Israel, being the true son of Abraham. He is the type of adoption, sonship, and of digging these wells of regeneration, the water that sprung forth. Now, this is what most Christians want to do. Dwell by a well. I have a reference here, Genesis 25:11, and it is that he dwelt by the well Lahairoi. He dwelt by the well. And that's where he started out. That's the first of the five wells that we will learn about tonight. Now, that's what most Christians want to do. They want to dwell by a well. That's a nice life. That's an easy life. But Isaac didn't get to stay there. And I assure you, you won't get the well of rest for very long. You will have to do what Isaac did. Dig again his father's wells. And we're told this in verse 15. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abram his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with the earth. And Isaac's task was to redig the wells that Abram his father had dug. So Isaac is a well digger, and he had a cause to maintain and to do a definite work of continuing the work of his father. Now, there's four areas that we can look at tonight. There's the typology of Isaac's well digging. What does this mean in the big picture of Scripture? There is the need for Isaac's well digging. Well, we've seen that the Philistines, they covered in the old wells. There's the blessings of Isaac's well digging. And then we'll look at the testimony of Isaac's well digging. So the first one is the typology. What can we learn from the digging of these wells by Isaac? Well, he was the son of Abraham, the son of the father of the faithful. And Isaac is the type of regeneration, for it is by regeneration that we are made the sons of God. These four patriarchs, Abram, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, they define for us four major doctrines. In Abram, you have election. He is called out of Ur of the Chaldees. His son Isaac is the type of the doctrine of sonship or regeneration. Then Jacob, the doctrine of sanctification. He's the wrestler. He is the one who wrestles against the flesh until he gets the blessing of God. And then Joseph, he is a type of glorification because there's no fault in the man. He is the one who is elevated to higher heights, and he pictures the glorification of the believer. And so, as a son and a type of regeneration, Isaac is linked to these wells of living water. Now, let me draw your attention here in chapter 26, verse 19, that it says that Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Now, the margin will tell you living water. Now, I think I know that's what it means in the physical realm, that if you dig and find a well and it's springing water or living water, it's bubbling up fresh and clean. It's usable, it's drinkable, it is a tremendous benefit. But spiritually, it means new life in Christ. It means the blessing of God in the very depths of your soul. There was a day when the Lord Jesus stood out the temple and he noted the people as they left and he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And of course, this is the new birth experience. This is the power of the gospel in the believer's heart. And when you are saved and brought into the family of God and made a child of God, there is new life. And it's like a well springing up within your heart and within your very soul. Now, there's another thing to notice about sonship here, and that is that Abram made Isaac the sole heir of all his blessings. Go back to chapter 25 and verse 5. And here's a great statement. And Abram gave all that he had unto Isaac. He's the sole heir of every benefit and every blessing. And how do you come into the benefits and the blessings of God in the gospel? By sonship. The moment that you're born again and you're brought into the family of God, you're an heir with Christ. And you have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And just as Abram gave Isaac everything, God gives to you as a believer, a Christian, born of the Spirit, you are made to be an heir. And you can study that out in the book of Romans, chapter 8, that sons indwelt by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, made to be heirs of great grace. I read of a man called Nelson Bell, and he told the story of no birth certificate. A man had a dream, and he found himself at the portals of heaven. And when he demanded admission, search was made, and the reply came back. The rolls of heaven have been searched, and there is no record of your birth. Now, that might be somewhat comical, but it is a genuine question. Have you got a spiritual birth certificate? Isaac did. He was a son in the family. He was an heir. And he was God's covenant child. Now, by grace, the gospel is offered to you. Every benefit, every blessing, all of sonship is given to you. And of course, our Lord Jesus said that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You need a birth certificate for heaven. Now today, my phone reminded me that this is my spiritual birthday. The first Sunday of September, 1974, I was born again after a gospel meeting in a little temporary church building in my hometown. What's that? 38 years ago, 1974. 37 years ago. My memory of being born again is a lot better than my math. And what the Lord did for me on that night to make me a child of God, I will be eternally grateful. I praise my Savior and give him all the glory to be made a child of God. Money can't buy it. And praise God, the devil can't take it away. Saved by grace, born into God's family, having the living water. And here I am 37 years later, and the water's still flowing. The Spirit of God is still with me. And I give the Lord all the praise. So there we have the typology of Isaac's digging. New birth, regeneration, a covenant child. We come now to the need. The need for Isaac's well digging. Well, that brings us back to these Philistines, these enemies that they were filling in the earth. Now, what a foolish thing to do. In a land where water was so precious, where nations fought over water and still do, that they should take these wells that were springing up that Abram had dug, and now to fill them in and stop them? It seems absolute madness. But that's the carnal mind. That's the Philistine nature. The wicked carnal man hates the things of God, and he would rather put an end to them than let the water flow. They fill them with earth, it says. If you go to chapter 26, 15. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abram his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. What were they trying to do? Bring it back to its natural state. It's a bit like the ecologists, a bit like the environmentalists. They want everything back to its natural state. Well, of course, there are many who like to do that with the Word of God and with the gospel. They want to deny the supernatural. They want to deny the power of God and the provision of God. That's apostate religion, and that's the agenda of politics and religion today. And it seems that they work hand in hand. Erase the gospel. Get done with supernatural Christianity. Fill it in with the earth. Now, every generation fights this battle of redigging the wells, and that's the work that we have to do. And what Isaac had to do to redig the wells that Abram had dug a generation before, we have to do today. The gospel church, the Lord has preserved it and advanced it, but there are Philistines that are filling in the wells, and we have to redig and unstop those wells again. Now, there are preachers and there are Christian universities and organizations that are setting themselves to be modernistic liberals denying the supernatural. We've got to redig. We've got to get to our Bibles and get to the doctrines of the gospel and dig them again. But let's come a little closer to our own hearts. Is the water flowing in your life? Or have the Philistines come and filled in the earth in your heart so that the blessings that once flowed in your soul, they no longer flow tonight? The thrill, the joy, the victory, the power that you once knew with God because of the living water in your soul, has the filth of the world, the earth, stopped that living water to some degree, and you've become weak? There's a drought in your soul, a deadness in your soul, the pollution of the world. It's an awful thing. Now, it can be incremental, it can be subtle, but it also can be outright vile. We're living in an age when, let's be blank here tonight and blunt, pornography, the vilest of media, bombards even the Christian's mind. This is an age like unto Sodom, when hellish scenes destroy the minds and hearts of God's people and their children. And let's not think that we're living, walking the clean side of the road, and all is well. It doesn't take much to stop the water. We learned this morning about grieving not the Spirit of God, Ephesians 4:30. The Spirit of God is very sensitive. And if we allow the filth, the earth of this world to plug up our souls, the Spirit of God will be grieved and depart from us. I wonder tonight, have you let some Philistine to fill up the well of your life? You're not reading your Bible the way you once did. You're not praying the way you once did. You're not rejoicing in the house of God the way you once did. There is a stoppage somewhere. That's the challenge that comes to our heart when Isaac had to redig the wells. And you can do that tonight. And you can take on this challenge and you say, I'm going to be a Christian that will deal with these things in my life. That's important. Absolutely important. George Mueller said, the less we read and the less we desire to read, the less we pray, the less we desire to pray. How true it is. Until the well stops. And then we wonder what happened. Let's get back to digging these wells. I come now to the blessings of Isaac's well digging. And we'll look there at verse 12, chapter 26. And you'll notice Isaac's sowing in the land. The blessings for digging are untold. This water in Judea, well, it was always an issue and always a battle and always so important that if you're going to grow anything, you need water. And it became the secret to Isaac's prosperity and blessing. Now, you'll notice that he sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold. Now, in a drought-ridden land, that was phenomenal. Phenomenal to receive that kind of blessing. And it says right after, in that verse 12, right after the statement of a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And so he gave the water, he gave the harvest, and it's all God's reward and blessing to Abraham. Now, verse 13 to 15, if you read of the prosperity of the man, and the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great, for he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. And read on to verse 15. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. But he redug them. Hey, there's the key. He redug them. He didn't just sit back and say, oh boy, it's all over. He redug and he got back into blessing because he dug the wells. Now, what's the secret of this blessing? Digging wells is a mark of dependency on the Lord. You can imagine in a dry, desert-like condition, digging a well, it would be the best thing you could do for your prayer life. Every shovel full of dirt that you throw out, there's a prayer with it. Let the water come. And as you dig down into the earth, your prayer is that soon you will hit the water. And as Isaac dug these wells, he was depending on the Lord. Now note something, that Isaac became an altar builder at Beersheba, talking about depending on the Lord. Verse 25, and he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord. Now there's a little extra bit of information here that will do your soul good. He built the altar and then he pitched his tent. Let's get that order right in our lives. Build the altar and then pitch the tent. So often we get it in reverse. We want to pitch our tent. We want to make ourselves comfortable and then think about building the altar for God. Isaac built the altar and then he pitched his tent. He was depending on the Lord for every benefit and for every blessing. Now the Christian who contends for the wells of our fathers and of the Christian faith will find the good way of God's blessing. Remember the word to Jeremiah that we are to Ask for the old paths. Wherein is the good way? And ye shall find rest for your souls. Are you doing that tonight? Digging the old wells, asking for the old paths, coming in dependence upon the Lord. Another mark or another reward, another pointer in this blessing for digging is the peace that Isaac enjoyed. Now, I said earlier in that 20-point profile that Isaac was not a man of war, he was a man of peace. If you look at these five wells that he dug, each one of them, or at least the first three, four of them, the Philistines contended. They fought. And that's why the first one in verse 20 was called Esek. And Esek means contention. But he moved on and he digged another one and he called it Sitnah. But the Philistines came after that one too, and it means hatred. Then the next one that he dug, which would be number 4, is Rehoboth, verse 22. And he called it Rehoboth and said, "For now the Lord hath made room for us." You see, where the enemy came and contended with Isaac, being a man of peace, he broke off, dug another well. When that became contentious, he broke off, dug another well, until there was room. Let me tell you, that's the pattern of the Christian. That's the pattern of the Christian. That is one of the marks of the fundamental Bible separatist principles of the Christian. Where I cannot worship God in freedom of conscience, where I cannot serve God according to my convictions, I move on and I redig the well and I build again my way or God's way of worship in the land. Isaac did that for peace's sake. Sometimes separatists, fundamentalists, Bible believers who practice biblical religion, they are called contentious. But no, the Christian who says, "I'm leaving this apostasy, I'm getting out this false, outside of this false way of worship, because I will worship God according to my conscience and the truth with brothers and sisters of like-minded faith," that's peace. That's fellowship. That's the bonds of Christian truth and rejoicing in that truth. And so, it's not based on compromise. It's based on re-digging again the wells. I had a whole lot more I was going to say on that, but the evening is hot, and I can see that John Nod is attacking a few poor souls in the meeting. I know I've been in your situation, so I will have mercy tonight. So we'll move on to the last point here. Isaac's testimony for well digging. Let's jump to verse 29. Now here are the words of Philistines, by the way. This is the amazing thing about this testimony of Isaac. "That thou wilt do to us, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace." Notice the word peace, by the way. Isaac was not a contentious man. He was a lover of peace. And here now are these Philistines, and they come to him, and they say at the end of verse 29, "Thou art now the blessed of the Lord." Now, if that was Rebekah, that would be his wife encouraging him. But these are our enemies. These are the Philistines. And they have marked this man. He came amongst them as a stranger. God blessed him. He gave him 100-fold growth in his harvest. Gave him wells. They saw him a man of peace. His testimony was growing and abounding even among his enemies. And they come to him and saying, "Thou art now the blessed of the Lord." Now, what does Isaac do? Well, he pours coals upon the heads of his enemies, and he makes a feast, and he invites them to a right royal feast. the mark of friendship. Now, he's not entering into the paganism of the Philistines, but they come to him recognizing God is with you and in you. And then he throws this feast, the mark in that culture of reconciliation, of friendship. You remember the prodigal father, when the son came home, he had the fatted calf killed and the feasting. That was the mark of friendship. Now, there's a verse in the Psalms that says that when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's Isaac. That's his testimony. He was able, by God's grace, not to surrender to the Philistines, not to give up and say, I will not redig the wells, but to live in the land of Gerar amongst these enemies of the Lord and to maintain a mighty testimony. Thou art the blessed of the Lord. And they took note. And they came seeking to have an agreement of some kind, an oath. And this fifth well was called Beersheba. Now, it's not alcoholic beer. Beer in Hebrew means well. And Sheba means oath. It was the well of the oath between Isaac and the Philistines. And the testimony that he had among these men, the influence he had among these men, is absolutely amazing. Now, through all these means of well digging, Isaac promoted the cause of his father Abram. He redug the wells that his father Abram had dug. Are you and I doing that tonight? In the cause of the Lord Jesus, are we seeking to promote the gospel kingdom, to redig those truths of the gospel and promote the gospel around us, that we might have that influence among men? The German philosopher Arthur Schopenhauer didn't know who he was. He couldn't answer the question of where he came from, nor where he was going. But the Christian can. I've got a work to do. I'm a well digger. I'm digging again the wells of the gospel. I'm here to glorify Christ and serve him. And while God gives me strength, this is my work. Who am I? A servant of the Lord Jesus. Where did I come from? Well, I'll go back to my spiritual birthday. Born again of the Spirit of God. Where am I going? Glory is my home. Glory is my home. The life of Isaac, the well digger. I leave you with that tonight. May we have his testimony and God.